141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The World Cup officially kicks off tonight with Scotland's opener against Haiti this weekend, edging ever closer. But the domestic stories do not stop. Martin O'Neill is officially announced as the Celtic manager on an initial one-year deal, but no mention of Sean Maloney or Mark Fotheringham yet. And could Danny Rowe be set to leave Rangers for RB Leipzig? I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is former Scotland international John Spencer and Gordon DL.
Well, we're under 2 hours to the big kickoff, the World Cup 2026, Andrew, but our focus is certainly on 2 o'clock early Sunday morning, Scotland's opening game, a game that I think everybody in the country fancies us to win and to get off to a good start. We're in a great position. I think we will qualify from the group stages for the first time ever. But we've still a lot of hard work to do, and quite rightly so. You're talking there domestically. Martin O'Neill confirmed as the Celtic manager for another year. Bit of problems with the backroom staff, you've got to say. And big news coming out of Rangers. Will they have a manager in place by the time pre-season starts?
John, you have been to a major tournament with Scotland. How will the players be feeling just a couple of days out from that first game?
Well, I think I've seen a couple of players talking on social media the last few days, and they've been... They seem upbeat about it. Obviously, coming off a couple of good performances, they look ready. I think that you get there, you get to training camp, then you're doing the same routine every day. And I think it's just now the players will be looking forward to the first whistle and getting into the games.
Well, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard, officially in World Cup mode. We are back for 2 hours for the foreseeable. I'll tell you a bit later on about the full schedule, how you can listen to the games as they happen. But tonight we are 6 until 8. And of course, we're going to be looking at Scotland, that Haiti game. We're going to be looking back on the pre-tournament friendlies and what they mean going forward. We're going to ask you who should be playing in that game, how confident you are. We want to know all about your journey over to America. Have you got tickets? We want to know all of that. But there are big domestic stories to deal with as well. As we mentioned, Martin O'Neill officially announced as the Celtic manager today. Is that a relief, Celtic fans, that is finally done and dusted? Because we found out last week that he'd agreed a one-year deal, an initial one-year deal, but only today is it officially announced. But stories this morning that Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham reportedly offered significant pay cuts, and that's why they have not been part of any announcement. So how are you feeling about that? 0141 951 1025. And Rangers fans, interested to hear your thoughts on the fact that Danny Rowe, could he be on his way out to RB Salzburg, as one of the Red Bull clubs, RB Salzburg in Austria, interested in taking him to Austria. So could that happen? Is that something you wouldn't mind happening? Is that something you don't want to happen? How's that going to play out? 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Gordon DL, we have a lot to juggle over the next couple of hours.
Yeah, we thought that everything was just going to be focused on the World Cup and the build-up to Sunday, the opening game for Scotland, Andrew. But, you know, like Scottish football is, an hour of quiet moment. The interesting one for me, I know the Rangers manager's getting linked with a move away. I think that'll be a mixed bag with the Rangers supporters. I think there'll be some quite happy if that move had to go through. But the one is Celtic part for me. They bring in Martin O'Neill, who went on to win the double last year. Absolutely brilliant. Celtic fans are crying out for him. So you get the man in place. And then to the news to break today that his backroom staff are getting offered wage cuts. What is Celtic doing? Why are they running their club like this? All they're doing is putting more strain on their cell. Martin O'Neill's basically there as well to bring the supporters and the board together. This doesn't help the board at all. You just wonder how this is going to play out. Because if Martin O'Neill, who's probably in one of the strongest positions any Celtic manager's been in a long, long time, right, because Celtic are, and rightly so, desperate to keep him, surely Martin O'Neill chaps that boardroom and walks in and says, that's my staff, they're the guys that helped me win the double. I want them rewarded alongside me and we move forward for next year. And that's put to bed.
0141 951 1025 on the phones, whether you are a Celtic fan, a Rangers fan, big stories at your clubs today. So I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you Scotland fans as well ahead of the World Cup. And why don't we get in the World Cup spirit, shall we? Why don't we cross live to Boston? Gabriel Antoniazzi is at the greatest bar in Boston and he can give us a bit of preview, a bit of colour of what is happening over there.
Yes, Andrew, welcome to the greatest bar here in central Boston. A big thank you to our host, the number one sports bar in New England. And what a city this is. It's 32 degrees outside. The sun is shining. As you say, we are less than 2 hours away from the big kickoff, as you can see on the massive screens behind me. Mexico starting it at home at the Azteca against South Africa. The world's biggest party is just a few hours away, and the Tartan Army are going to be right in the thick of it here in Boston. Now, thousands of them have been arriving yesterday, thousands more arriving today, and many more to come heading into the weekend. There's plenty sitting in the downstairs level of this bar behind me, just hiding from that heat outside. But the Tartan is starting to take over. The locals are really starting to sense this is going to be Scotland's town over the next 10 days or so. And World Cup fever is really, really beginning to take over. Of course, there's a massive buzz among the fan base. We've seen that before at the two previous Euros, but something feels a little bit different this time, Andrew. We've got the experience of those two competitions. It's not our first time. We know what to expect in these massive matches. We played well in the two previous friendlies, scoring 4 goals in both of them. And perhaps crucially, it's that opening game. There's no daunting task of Germany, the hosts, in the opening fixture. It's Haiti, the easiest game by far on paper, the second lowest side in the tournament. And what a platform a victory on Saturday night here, Sunday morning back home, would give Scotland here in the States and a chance to go on and make history and reach the knockout stages for the first ever time. Now, we all know that the Scotland squad have been this side of the Atlantic since the end of May. They've been at Charlotte FC's training base in North Carolina for the past week, but they are flying to Boston in a few hours' time. They're going to be staying here 2 nights in the Back Bay area at a hotel in the city. They're going to be training at the New England Revolution Training Ground at 10 a.m. local time tomorrow. And then a few hours after that, we'll hear from Steve Clark and Captain Andy Robertson. So it's all starting to feel very real, Andrew.
Right, for anyone watching on the live stream, I know Gab said it is 32 degrees out there. Have you sweated through all your Scotland tops already? Why have you got a Mexico top on? I know they're playing tonight, but surely you should have a Scotland top on.
Listen, I've only got 2 Scotland tops and they've got to last me the whole tournament because we're going to the final. So I've got to think, take my time. We've got Mexico today, Scotland tomorrow, Scotland over the weekend. I've got a Uruguay jersey up my sleeve as well for when they're playing. We'll be down in Miami for that game. Perhaps in Norway as well. They're playing against Iraq on Tuesday here in Boston. So listen, there'll be plenty of jerseys coming from here in Boston.
You wonder, you get in a shop and say, I'll tell you what, give me the Norway strip, that's looking good, and stick the Mexico one in as well, and I'll wear it. And the opening night of the World Cup 2026, promoting Scotland over there, talking about the Tartan Army, and we see a Mexican.
I assume that we can't see his bottom half. There's got to be a kilt on there, surely, Gabs.
You don't want to see what's on the bottom half here. It's not a kilt, I can promise you that.
Well, thank you to Gabs in the greatest bar in Boston. Maybe you are listening in Boston and you want to get involved in the show. You can go, you can meet Gabriel, you can get on air, you can chat to us, and we will head back there to hear from some of the Scotland fans that are over there. Not a bad gig, is it, heading over there? And lots of Scotland fans. What a time it is for them to get over there and enjoy the sunshine, enjoy the football.
It's a brilliant city. I've been there a few times playing in Major League Soccer and coached in that city. Foxborough, brilliant big stadium. But as I say, for the pre-game, bars, etc., having pre-drinks, the Tartan Army are going to have a good time in that city, that's for sure.
Yeah, John, I think the biggest question will be for everyone now is, obviously, Gab's talked about the heat. You know, you've been over there, you've played there, you've coached over there. How hard is it to play in that heat?
I think that heat and humidity are two different things. Anybody, you go on holiday and you're sitting by the pool and it's 80 degrees, they're jumping in at the pool, totally different. I've seen a few of the players saying, oh, we've came early, we've acclimated. I think it was Hickey made reference the other day that the you know, the backroom team had been telling the players, get in the sauna, etc. Let me tell you something, you cannot prepare for this climate. As he said, it was 32 degrees, I think, is was the temperature. It's probably going to be 70.
I know, I was just thinking, you're the big giveaway that you're a man that's lived in America for a while, that you said 80 degrees there, to the point where I had to just Google what 80 degrees is in our money.
Well, I can only make reference, when I was at the Houston Dynamo coaching, we played a number of games, and during the summer months, the June, July months, we had players at halftime, Gordon, coming in and going on the IV for fluids. And it's not the heat. As I say to you, you can cope with the heat, but when the humidity rises and the temperature rises, I'm telling you right now, there's nothing that will prepare you for this. It's going to be a tough, tough tournament for a lot of players.
Right, let's go to the phone, shall we? We will hear some of the opinions on Scotland a bit later on. We'll go back to Boston and get some live thoughts from some Scotland fans over there. But big stories concerning both Celtic and Rangers today, concerning both the managers. Martin O'Neill has agreed an initial one-year deal with Celtic. That is signed, sealed, but no mention of Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham. And what about this Rangers fans, Danny Rule, potentially leaving for RB Salzburg? It's understood that there has been contact between the clubs over a move for him. So I want to hear your thoughts. 0141 951 1025. John is in Paisley, and as a Rangers fan, what are you making of it, John?
If he wants to go and he goes, he's a number two, he's not a manager. I mean, it doesn't matter what you can say to me, he's a number two, he can stick to number two. One track pony, he goes to a place, and then the fruits and the pudding at the end of the season, they threw it all away. He's a number two, and if he's sick to being a number two, I don't think he's a man manager.
So Andrew Kavanagh gave his backing to Danny Rule at the end of last season. It very much seemed as if he was going to be the manager next season. Were you not happy with that at the time? Were you hoping that, you know, something like this would potentially play out?
Well, I couldn't see it play out because I couldn't see him taking in for him, to be honest with you. But at the end of the day, he's done better than Russell Martin, and he's in the Leicester job. I don't know, God help Leicester getting him. But at the end of the day, he's a number two, and the man management side, yeah, you've seen it at the end of the season. Some of his decisions were, you know what I mean, they're beyond beggars, beyond belief. Some of his, you know, team selections, and the last four games said all. So he's no go to it. We were in a position to win that league. Gatley gives in our horns, and he lost that. So basically, he's a man that should go. Stick to be a number two. He seems to be quite good at number two.
Some people, certainly some Rangers fans, didn't seem too happy at the fact that Andrew Kavanagh had given Danny Rule his full backing going into next season. There were some supporters like John that felt that maybe he hadn't done enough to get another season, and people talk about that cycle that Rangers seem to be stuck in, that a manager will be hired and then, you know, does okay initially, ends up getting sacked in October, November time, and a new manager comes in, the same cycle happens. I don't think anyone really could foresee this happening, Andrew Kavanagh giving Danny Rule his backing and then the potential that he still might leave on different terms.
Yeah, first and foremost, I don't think John will be alone here in his opinion. Whether he's a better number two or not, I don't know. The big question is he a Rangers manager going forward, spending the money? I think his first signing, Shanklin's a magnificent sign, let's not be kidded about that. So that he's off to a good start in that case. But Andrew Kavanagh, for me, had to back him, Andrew. And the reason why, he came in, he took over Rangers. He had a disaster of an appointment under Russell Martin. Now, if he sits back after one season and he sacked two managers, he's not got to look in a good light. So he had to look at it and say, yeah, okay, we're going to go and back you here, but you need to produce the goods for his next season. We will take the club forward. Hopefully, you'll beat the reins. I think everybody, well, not everybody, I think a lot of people would sigh a big relief if it was the easy one for another club just to come in. Everybody saves face. He leaves. The club want him. Rangers could turn around, put a statement out, we're not standing his way, and then I think Rangers can get the right man in. Because I'll be honest, I'm not as harsh as John, right? But I don't think he is a guy to lead Rangers forward and take the money that Rangers have got to throw at him and spend it wisely for me.
I suppose this will be a big test of that backing that Andrew Kavanagh has given Danny Rule, because if Rangers, as Gordon says, if they don't stand in his way or they're willing to negotiate, then maybe there is a train of thought that they think there is better out there and there may be someone else that they could bring in, because if they thought he was the man for the job and there was no one else for it, they would probably just say, they would knock back any advance and just say he's the man for us.
Well, I think if you look at it, he came out very quickly, as you've said, and backed his manager. I think the best thing to do now, I think there's lack of transparency in both Offerham teams for me too much over the last 12 months. You've backed him a month ago, just after the season. So when these rumours circulate around the press, someone's releasing something, because there's never smoke without fire, as people say. So for me, the owners, Kavanagh, need to come out and go, this is what's happening. Let the fans know. He wants to go. The manager wants to go to Germany, wants to go back, family reasons, whatever it is. You know, we give him our blessing, we'll get compensation, etc. But if he's your guy four weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, then you should come out, make a statement to the club saying the manager's not going anywhere, he's our guy, he's going to take us forward in the future, and we're going to back him in the summer transfer window.
Despite the fact that the planning has already started for next season, John, as you mentioned, Lauren Shankland has come in as the first signing. Would that disruption at this point in the season, would that be something you would take just to get a different manager in?
Definitely. We weren't going to the season knowing that we've got a manager. I'm not trying to dig down the road a hard time. He done best he can, right? But he's not a manager. I'm saying, it's like Archie Knox was never a manager in his own right. He was a number two. Stick to being a number two, because he can't man manage people. It was shown on the park last season, and I've been to every game last year by the last one, right? And I can assure you, don't get me wrong, he put us together like a wee unit. But then, the fruit's in the pudding the last four games. I don't think we should go on holiday again, right enough. Because every time we go on holiday, we come back, we get the word is beat. Know what I mean?
I thought there was going to be another word.
John, you can't call yourself a real Rangers supporter. You never went to the last game of the season, mate, so I don't think you've got a right to talk there.
Last game of the season, Gordon, you don't pay to get into any games, so you should be quiet. you've not spent a penny. I have to kind of get your money out your poker.
Exactly, mate. And
listen, I went to the last game of the season. I seen them twice playing Falkirk. The first game, I think they took six off Falkirk, and then five. And I tell you what, after the 6-3, after that game, I said to a couple of guys I was sitting with, I thought, you know what, Rangers could go on and win this league. They were dominant, they were powerful, athletic, and they were ruthless in front of goal. And I actually thought that they could have went on and won the title. I just think that there was a couple of times, as the callers just mentioned, that they got close to Hearts. There was a couple of times where I think they could have just jumped beyond them, maybe a point ahead. I think you can't always just keep blaming managers, coaching staff. Players need to take responsibility when they're on the pitch as well. And I think maybe in the last 4 or 5, 6 games, I don't think the players lived up to their abilities and never played. Maybe it was a pressure on some of them, but they never lived up to the expectations as Rangers players.
John's right. He had it in his hands like every other club, Celtic and Hearts. Had it in their hands when they got to split, right? Forget all that. Well, he'd done such a great job, and look where we were when he took over from Russell Martin. Remember, it was a long, long time ago, still a lot of ground. The Rangers were always going to make up ground, no doubt about that. They were never going to finish in the bottom six. There were slight things I think annoyed Rangers fans about him. I think John touches on. I never looked at him. I thought he's got a great style of football. I enjoy his football. Some of his substitutions, some of his teams. I thought even small things like, and probably it's a big thing to quite a few people, is the way he handled the Tavernier situation. Yeah. You know what I mean? That showed lack of leadership for me. But I can understand that Andrew Kavanagh come out because he was under pressure, because he brought in Russell Martin. They spent, 40 million, guts of 40 million. So you're going to sack two managers in 1 year. It's not going to look very good in you as new owners coming in and saying, we're going to take the club forward. We'll make all the right decisions here.
But they also sacked the whole backroom team, the recruitment team. So I think it's very easy to point the finger at Russell Martin and say he spent 40 million. I personally think Russell Martin was put in place and the transfer team behind were picking the players and bringing them in, and then he was given, here's the players, etc. That's quite possible. We all know what goes on in football clubs, in the modern football clubs. It's not just the manager that makes decisions. So I think it's very easy to point the finger at one guy and say, you know what, you take the blame. I'm not so sure that's the case in most of these big clubs now.
See, when you were a manager, Gordon, how many of the supporters of those clubs described you as a number two?
But it wasn't a number. What number two are we talking about?
Exactly.
I know what I'm talking about.
Thank you to John in Paisley. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Before we go to a break, how well do you know your international football? You could take part in our free football predictor for the chance to win £1,000 in Amazon vouchers. We're looking for Super Scoreboard's smartest armchair pundits to predict how the summer's football will unfold. All you have to do is put every group in order, predict who will make it through the group stages, the knockout stages, and how you compare with fellow Scotland fans on our leaderboard. Can you call the shock results, the dark horses? Most importantly, can you predict who's going to win the whole thing? Enter now for your chance to win £1,000 in Amazon vouchers, plus bonus prizes for runners-up as well. Entries close a week tomorrow, so that's Friday the 18th of June at 5 o'clock. You can enter now at Clyde1.com, and you can also find it via the Clyde One Super Scoreboard social channels.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
John Spencer and Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are back to 2 hours. We are in full World Cup mode. So any thoughts on Scotland ahead of that massive opener against Haiti this weekend? 0141 951 1025. But as it always is in this part of the world, domestic stories are always of peak interest to Martin O'Neill, officially the Celtic manager. He'd agreed that one-year deal last week. That has now been confirmed by Celtic today. A bit of interest there, though, that Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham not mentioned at all in the statement. That's after reports this morning that they'd been offered a pay cut to stay on. So it looks as if that's at a bit of a standstill. How are you feeling about that, Celtic fans? Give us a call. And Rangers fans, what about the future of Danny Rule? Could he be on his way to RB Salzburg? Do you want him to stay? Would you not mind if he left? You can give us a call. 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to John, who is a Celtic fan in Coatbridge. John, how are you?
Hi guys, how are you, Dazza? And who else joins it? Johnny Russell?
John Spencer.
He looks John like Spencer. Johnny Russell.
Yeah, Johnny Russell's got more hair than me, mate.
That's what I heard. I didn't hear the start of it. I had more hair than me. How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call. No, I was just saying to on the guy there, about, obviously, Cammy Devlin's came out and made a statement there, right, about the last game of the season. No Hearts players were touched, etc. And so, to me, Celtic are owed an apology for Tony Bloom, McInnes, etc. Plus,
well, I don't think he said no Celtic players were touched or no Hearts players were touched. I think he said none were hurt. Just to
Sorry, right. Plus, big Craig Gordon done great for Celtic, right? But I think his comments were ill advised about what he said, because obviously there's a lot of Celtic players in the Scotland squad too. So I think he should have left it to be to after and a right well before the squad went away. I think it was a bit silly, the comment. I just want to know what you think of that, guys.
I mean, he did a press conference, Craig Gordon. I think he put a post on Instagram. He did a press conference. He was asked, and all he really said in it was that, you know, it'll always hurt the final day of the season. Yes, he played for Celtic, but he's also now a Hearts player. So, you know, and if he's getting asked a question in a press conference, despite the fact that he's on Scotland duty, it's probably fair that he answers it.
It'll always hurt every single one concerned with Hearts, from players, staff to everyone that supported them and thought the dream was there. They get snatched away at them right at the end, especially when they went 1-0 up with Shankland. So you're thinking, oh, this is the year it's going to be for Hearts. So can understand that. Look, you've been in camps, you've been with other players. They'll not even be discussing. Their full focus now will be on the first game.
There'll certainly be more Scotland group seem to have a real togetherness as well, don't they?
I think that's the word, togetherness. And I think that's what can bring you success. You know, they might not be the most talented group individually, but collectively as a team, I think that, you know, they went to, was that three tournaments they've went to now? And it's the core group that Steve Clarke talks about that has went to them three tournaments. So I think that they've got a great togetherness, and that could carry them through to the knockout stages.
On Martin O'Neill's official appointment, John, were you happy to see that be announced today?
Well, as I spoke to the producer there, Martin O'Neill done for Celtic is unbelievable, right? But I think they've not looked into the future. And I just, as a guy to help with that, I didn't actually realise that, if Sean Maloney and that, his policies would actually take a pay cut. But nothing really surprised me with the Celtic board. As I said, I've been on it, Dazza knows, I'm on a lot, and Dazza knows me, and I've always spoke about Dermot Desmond. To me, to just sell his shares and let somebody run the club, would you call it, with Celtic at heart? Because to me, he's more of an interest at Man United. And plus, the way his son came out and the way he spoke about, he spoke to the Celtic fans as if they were stupid.
certainly not. And as I said, I'll be 100% behind Martin Neal, but as Daz has even spoken about this a couple of weeks ago, there's going to be a turnaround, maybe about 20 players leaving Celtic. So when Brendan came the second time, obviously I was over the moon. I thought he's now getting the upper hand now with the transfers and that, but obviously it didn't work out that way. So I'm just hoping, against hope, that they gave Martin Neal the money which they needed. Cause
John, just as a Celtic man, would you have went down a different route rather than Martin O'Neill, because of maybe, yeah, it's a 1 year contract, there's no future in that plan, and it's well documented. Everybody talks about his age. I detest that because he's just come off a double. So it shows you he can still do a job. Would you have went down another route and tried to get a younger sort of a coach in to go forward?
No, God, I'm not saying that, Daz. What I'm saying is, they've had a long, long time, and apparently they've been looking at all these different targets, right? And obviously we knew, apparently Robbie Keane, right? But obviously there was the politics involved in that, right? But obviously Martin O'Neill, age is nothing really, right? Obviously he's amazing, right? But what I'm saying is, to me, they've not for the cheap option, right? Because I wouldn't think Martin will be cheap, but they've just sort of, they've not done their homework to get MDLs in. They've said they're going to look for other targets, and then it's just come back to Martin. They said, I'm happy with Martin, big time. I just hope, as I said, the only problem is, will they give him the money, which I hope he does.
Those reports this morning, John, that Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham have been offered a pay cut. I think one of the reports I saw said a significant pay cut to, you know, return in the roles that they did last season. Is that a concern when you look at the broader picture? If Celtic have this big rebuild this season and, you know, maybe aren't willing to match the pay structure that they had last season for Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham, is that a worry generally if Celtic have a lot to do in the transfer market this summer and you know, they're maybe not offering what Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham would want?
Aye. Well, as I said a minute ago, mate, nothing with the Celtic board, sort of, but especially when it comes to the penny pension, nothing surprises you because they've been like that for a long, long time. As I say, obviously, I want players brought in, but I would actually would love the biggest success I would like love this year is if most of the board went and we started with a new board. And I know people say, I know that Dermot Desmond, he's put money in, right? Blah, blah, blah. He's done a good job, right? And so did Peter Law, etc. But now's the time, and I think even Mr. Keevans, who doesn't really agree with me, Mr. Keevans actually agrees with me about that one. It's time for Dermot Desmond to move on. And it doesn't really surprise me that they've offered Sean Maloney and Mark Warren with lesser money, because that's what they're like.
Because how do you think they feel about that, Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham? If you have answered Celtic's call and gone in twice last season in two separate interim spells, at one point looked very unlikely that Celtic would win any silverware potentially. You help them to a double, Martin O'Neill gets the job, and, you know, reports suggesting that they've been offered a significant pay cut. You can see why they would be pretty hesitant to accept those terms.
Remember, it's rumours. That's the first thing I'd say. Remember, we're assuming that's to be the case. The big thing for me is Martin coming back, obviously, fantastic Celtic legend, etc. We all know that. We can't speak highly enough of what he's done for that football club, but how do you give Martin O'Neill 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 million pounds to spend? Because it's in 12 months' time, he's possibly going to walk. And we all know, Gordon, you know, you've been a manager yourself. Everybody sees the game differently. You spend 25, 30 million on new players. What happens if the new head coach comes in 12 months and goes, don't like that guy, don't like that guy, don't like that guy, and then you're trying to move these boys on? So I think for me, I'm very, very surprised. I agree with John. They've had 4 or 5 months to deal with this, you know, identify candidates that could be take the club forward. I was just very surprised with that amount of time that they had. They finished on the double. Could they appoint a new manager? I don't want to say younger, but a younger guy that they can maybe go into a 3, 4, 5 year cycle and get success.
But I think their problem is they've been burnt before when they tried that. Everybody was crying out for, remember the situation, there was a couple of important games coming up. Celtic fans were on saying, keep Martin O'Neill in the hot seat now, and then Wilfred Nancy can come in after it.
The League Cup final was one of them.
So that was the way that Celtic were looking to go under Wilfred Nancy. This new coach coming in from America, bringing the new ideas, playing three at the back. This was a new step forward. It failed absolutely miserably for them, right? I'm not saying it'll fail again, appointing someone else. I think what Celtic have looked at quite simple is Martin O'Neill's done a remarkable job and got the double, right? There's a big rebuilding job to be done there, from supporters to players to the board. Martin O'Neill is probably the safest hands he'll probably get, right? But my surprise is quite simple. Martin O'Neill's biggest attribute is man management. I think we'd all agree with that. He surrounded himself with the right people, his people. They done all the work. He was a guy that gave them all the, yeah, the figurehead, John. And they done all the work. Now, if that's the case and you're going to go again with Martin O'Neill, and Spenny's right, it might be rumours, and I hope it is, because I think it's a bad look in the Celtic board. Then you bring them in, you say, guys, you come in here when we needed yous. We would have bit your hand off to win the double. Martin's gone another year. Yous are going with them. There's the money there. You don't come in and then just wipe the carpet away from them. That's nonsense.
Listen, I can understand if Sean Maloney and Mark have asked for maybe 3 or 4 year deals, and then you're thinking, you know what, 12 months down the line, there's a new coach coming in, he might want to bring his own staff. But if it's a 12-month contract, then give the guys what they've earned, and they've certainly earned it over the last 4 or 5 months.
Thank you to John on the line. What about Gary, who's a Rangers fan in South Queens Ferry? What are you making of this Danny Rule situation, Gary?
Well, first off, I just want to say hopefully the Tartan Army do us proud, and the boys do us proud out there. Back to the Danny Rule situation, it wouldn't be a loss for me, to be honest with you. He got us into the position where, you know, once we were at the top of the league, after that, I think things happened in the background with, you know, a situation with Tavernier and stuff like that. He was third choice bringing in as a manager, but I just wanted to ask the panel, who would you think they would now go look at if this was to go ahead?
Because I think naturally the names that you would see pop up are the ones that Rangers fans have seen before. Steven Gerrard, Derek McInnes. Yeah. I don't know whether people would, you know, talk about Kevin Muscat, guys that, you know, a couple of them have actually, all three have knocked back the job previously. Derek McInnes, obviously, a long time ago. Would they be the obvious options? Do you think that Rangers could go left field?
I'll be honest with you. I think if Danny Rule walks out the building tomorrow, we'll be inundated with calls from most Rangers supporters saying, bring Derek McInnes in.
Do you go Frank Lampard? You know, do you really go ambitious, put your money where your mouth is? I think you look at Kieran McKenna, and I know that Frank Lampard's in a similar situation, that they're going to get into the Premier League unless they spend hundreds of millions of pounds. They're guaranteed almost to go back down into the Championship. Frank Lampard's probably took that club to as far as he can. Kieran McKenna's in the same boat. Do you go and say, you know what, this is one of the biggest institutions name-wise in world football, along with Celtic? Do you go and put your money where your mouth is and say, Frank, you know what, here you go, 4 or 5 year plan. Is he the guy?
Have they got the money spent to pay Lampard's wages? I know what you're saying.
See, using the Kieran McKenna example, when he was being talked about as a potential Celtic manager, from what Brendan Rodgers was paid at Celtic, being the highest ever, you know, paid Celtic manager, I'm led to believe that Kieran McKenna was on a lot more at Ipswich than Brendan Rodgers was on at Celtic. So you'd imagine Frank Lampard would probably have some sort of promotion clause in his contract at Coventry. It would probably take a lot, first of all, in a fee to get him away from Coventry, and then actually to pay him wages.
Well, he's earning that much that his wife went part-time in the morning show, let me tell you that.
Trust you to know that.
Exactly, I notice everything. Look, what Spenny says there makes great sense, because these guys are getting in there and they're getting into a situation where it'll be really impossible to keep up with the big guys. You might be lucky to get a good season out of them and keep them up there, but eventually you'll drop down there again. You're back in the Championship. You might lose your job or whatever. But I just think that Lampard will probably look at thinking, do you know, the Rangers job might come along in another couple of years and I'll be tailor-made for it. I don't think he's got to give that up now. And plus, in fact, I think you make a great point. These guys are in massive, massive money, and you would need to break the bank for it to bring managers like up here, I think.
You've got to strike when the iron's hot in this game, I'm afraid. I think if you look at the Celtic situation with Ange Postecoglou, nobody knew who he was. Everybody criticised the club before they brought him in. He came in, he'd done a double treble. Before you know it, he's managing one of the biggest clubs in English football in Tottenham. Great facilities, unbelievable stadium. And then I think if you're looking at any manager that's not born and raised in Glasgow and are going to manage the old firm, they're going to stay. most of the time. You bring in foreign coaches that are not born and raised in the city of Glasgow. Celtic and Rangers are not their team. They're going to stay here for two or three years, win a double, win a treble, and then they're going to try and head to the Premier League. And that's where that's where a lot of the footballers as well, they come in here, they're using the Scottish football, Rangers and Celtic, as a stepping stone to get to the big league in the Premier League.
Thank you to Gary, 0141 951 1025. Keep your calls coming while I tell you about this.
Goal! Just absolutely magnificent.
Clyde One.
£750,000 could be all yours on Make Me a Winner before the weekend even kicks off tomorrow. We're giving you another chance to boost your bank balance. Last week's winner was Angie. She was on holiday when she got the call and said she's already started thinking about how she's going to spend the money before her husband got back from the hotel bar. So enter now and that life-changing cash could be yours very, very soon. To get yourself in the draw, text YES to 61025, text for 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules for this network competition there as well, or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only and the clock is ticking. Lines close at 5 o'clock tomorrow, and after that all you need to do is answer the call and £750,000 will be yours. It'll even be paid straight into your bank account right after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and John Spencer here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, taking your calls, whether it's international football or domestic football that is on your mind. We will get round to the Scotland chat very shortly. We'll go back to Boston. Gabriel Antoniazzi is there. He'll be speaking to some fans that have travelled over for the World Cup. Of course, that massive game against Haiti not too far away, but big domestic stories to get on with. At the moment, you look at Martin O'Neill being officially announced as the Celtic manager today on an initial one-year deal with the chance to extend it by another year, but no mention of Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham, who have reportedly been offered a pay cut. And Danny Rule, could he be leaving Rangers for RB Salzburg? There is talk that there has been discussions between the clubs about him potentially moving to Austria. So get your calls in about either of those topics. Let's speak to Stevie, who's a Celtic fan in Strathblane. Stevie, how are you?
I'm fine. The situation here is quite simple. Celtic do not want to, sorry, the board of Celtic do not want to modernise. If you don't believe me, go ask Dominic Mackay. They're quite happy to just bumble along, be one step ahead of Rangers for this season at Hearts, and take their wages. No absolute desire to progress, modernise, move the club forward, whatever, right? And then to add insult to injury, two guys who did do their job, who performed well. Usually when you do that, you get a wage rise, not a wage cut. Right? And they insult them with that. The board should minimum be taking a wage cut, and in my eyes, shouldn't be having a job. Because they're no doing their job, but they're sitting with £80 million in the bank, fair enough. But that's because we haven't bought anybody. We're buying projects. We wanted John McGinn. We get Disco Lights. We get Marion Sved, we get Barkas, Ajeti, Balakwisha, all these guys who they think they can do the job better than the manager. So here's a good situation. Why don't they just say at the start of the season to Martin O'Neill, there's £25 million, £30 million. You're running the football department. We'll take today with Adidas and Daffabet and blah, blah, blah. And you deal with the football because you're the football guy. We're lawyers, we're accountants. We don't know anything about football. That's been proved with the disaster of me, all the last Windies and everything. And every Celtic fan that I know is the same. Back the manager. And the boy that was on before, the hope is that they do back Martin O'Neill. But when Brendan Rodgers came back, I thought to myself, he must have been made promises. He must have been guaranteed money, or they wouldn't have come back to take the job, and I'm hoping that's the same now. But as far as I'm concerned, Sean Maloney and Fozzie, that's disgusting.
I suppose the modernisation of a football club, you look at a lot of football clubs these days and it maybe isn't the manager or the head coach that is integral to the recruitment of players. They'll play some part, but there is a recruitment structure behind there. There's a sporting director, there's a director of football that maybe are key to getting these deals done. But is that maybe part of the issue that Stevie's talking about, that there's maybe not that link at Celtic between the management staff and the hierarchy there's not really anyone occupying that position that is the link between the two that maybe helps the recruitment side of things and can be the buffer.
Yeah, and plus the fact you can add to that, as Stevie touched on there, there's a link between the supporters as well. And that was divided this year. You've got to look at Celtic this year stumbled over the line, right? And they got to a double because of Martin O'Neill. Their transfer windows have been shocking. The money they've wasted and the waste of players that they brought into that building.
Because the Celtic board will tell you they've spent money, but then Celtic fans will say, well, what's a lot of the money gone on? You know, Balakwisha was £5 million, big wages, I think 5-year contract, it's a huge outlay. So there is money being spent at times by the Celtic board, but it's maybe not being spent in the right areas, which is maybe a separate issue.
Well, they brought in, five loans in January?
Mm-hmm.
And the final game against Hearts, none of them were on the park at the beginning of the game, right? So you look at that and you're thinking, there's five players, five wages that were brought in to change things around, and Martin O'Neill had to get a little bit extra out of the players that were there to get them over the line. So the recruitment has been terrible. And take that back to the beginning of the season as well. Every time a transfer window comes up, Celtic lately have failed miserably. They really have. So they need to get their full structure needs to be put in place. Look, I think Spenny was right there when he said, it's rumours, we don't know, but you know what like it is, no smoke without fire. See if that is the case. All the board are doing, once again, is they're putting themselves under pressure and they're angering Celtic fans who are looking, thinking, Martin O'Neill's come in there with his own staff, and those and Martin O'Neill will probably come out and say it. Those guys probably done the heavy lifting. Let's not be kidded here. Martin O'Neill's a man manager guy. He's a guy at the beginning of the game, the half time, on the touchline. He's a guy that does all that. But these other guys would have probably done all the heavy lifting, and we've been there working, and it's a hard, hard shift. And I think Stevie's right. You get rewarded. You don't get ended up saying, by the way, there's your contract, we're going to take X amount off it, and by the way, take it or leave it. That's ridiculous if that's the case.
Because how important is that continuity if Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham have found a way of working, which they did last season, because they came in, they won Celtic a double, and they feel that that is the formula for success going into next season. If they're now in a place where potentially Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham might not be there this season, that still is upheaval within the club, because yes, the figurehead, the manager, Martin O'Neill, is there, but Celtic would then have to go and find new backroom staff, other people that can work with Martin O'Neill. They then need to click and work out exactly how they work together. So it may be continuity in terms of a manager, but having the full coaching staff is a big thing, isn't it?
I'll be amazed if Martin doesn't get these guys signed up. I'll be totally amazed. Usually when a manager goes in, everything's agreed in principle and you get the contracts done. Maybe the two boys are not, maybe Sean and Fozzie are not happy with the terms offered to them. I will say, we keep going back to saying that Martin, you know, won the club a double. Let's not be kidded. The players for three quarters of the season underperformed. This is boys, mostly that group that have won double trebles over the last few years. And they dug a hole for themselves, and I don't think they would have got out of it if they hadn't had the previous success over the last few years. And the players turned the ship around. Obviously, Martin's motivated them and dragged them forward, but the players have done the business on the pitch, stumbled over the line, but at the end of the day, they still, in the history books, got themselves a double, and they deserve a lot of credit for that as well.
Stevie, there's a quote today in the Martin O'Neill announcement from Dermot Desmond. He says, the club will support Martin fully again across the closed season to make sure we're well prepared to achieve domestic success and compete on the European stage. Just given what's happened over the past couple of transfer windows, is it a case of you having to, you know, see it to believe it, that the right backing will be there?
Yeah, I've got a bridge I want to sell you. There's ferries at the bottom of the garden. Talk is easy. As you say to your partner, don't tell me you love me, show me. So, you know, we'll need to wait and see. But basically, what the guys are saying there reinforces my point. We have had all these project signings and all the rest. They're looking for next Henrik Larsson, next Virgil van Dijk, blah, blah, blah. Okay, for every Matt O'Reilly, you have 10 Ajetis. Look at all the summer signings. Look at all the signings that Tisdale brought in. There's about 20 signings, right? And son of Lawwell before, right? Totally unqualified for the job. Got the right second name. He brought in 20 players, and I think the only one was Alistair Johnson. And the rest of them, so instead of having £18 million and trying to buy nine players at £2 million, why don't you just buy three players at £6 million and three transfer windows later, you've got a good spine in your team and then maybe some resale value? Because when you buy these projects, generally what happens is you end up having to let them go, putting them out in loan, they're still picking up wages. You're actually costing yourself money because you're no thinking smart, you're thinking cheap.
The only thing is, I'll defend the board a little bit here, Stevie. Look, Adam Eder, what did he cost? 9 million, right? You've got 10 million and two wingers that you brought in as well, right? So they have spent in that region between that, you know, 4-5 to Adam Eder, 9 million. It doesn't matter how much money, it doesn't matter how much money you spend in players. It's the right players that fit the team, that fit the system, that fit the manager. That's what you've got to do, right? You look at, for instance, the perfect example this year for me in the Premier League was Motherwell. Motherwell have not got £5-6 million players, but they were a brilliant team playing great football because they had a great coach that put them, drilled them into how they played. And I think they got a lot of success for that. As much as it is, yes, you can go and get a player at 6-7 million, will be absolutely brilliant for you. But you can also go and shop in a market that you maybe spend 2-4 million that'll come in, as long as it's the right fit for your team and it's going to blend into what you're trying to do.
Thank you. Sorry, we're going to have to leave that there, Stevie. We are running late for the news and we're running late for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It could be Gordon DL on Beat the Pundit, or it could be a debut for John Spencer. 0141 951 1025. Get your call in before 7 o'clock and you can play Beat the Pundit next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and John Spencer here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still an hour of your calls to come. So whether you want to talk about the World Cup, the opening fixture is tonight, Mexico against South Africa. All the build-up is happening. But of course, the only fixture we care about is Scotland against Haiti this weekend. So any thoughts, give us a call, or maybe you're interested in domestic matters. Martin O'Neill officially announced as Celtic manager today, but could Danny Rowe be on his way out of Rangers? 0141 951 1025. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
How are you feeling about the prospect of potentially having to play Beat the Pundit since it's now been sprung on you and you didn't know anything about it 10 minutes ago?
I'm disappointed in Daz. Daz has set me right up here, so if I lose, I'm going to be throwing punches to my left-hand side very soon.
What would be the more exciting? Your first international cap against Russia, am I right in saying that?
Correct.
Right. Or
you've been doing your research.
Listen, I used to go cycling with this guy. I've heard his full career, maybe every Tuesday,
You don't
Thursday.
Remember your own career.
Yeah, but when it's Benny and he's sitting in a saddle telling you his career constantly.
You usually sat in your saddle 200 yards behind me, mate. Let's not be kidding here. I was a machine on that bike.
Right, Chris is in Coatbridge. Chris, who would you rather play? Gordon DL, a seasoned veteran of Beat the Pundit, or a debut for John Spencer?
Let's go for Gordon.
Yeah, I love it, mate.
It's
a toss of a coin, though. He doesn't get to choose.
He wants you, Daz. He loves you, mate.
Have you played before, Chris?
I have, yeah.
How did you get on?
I beat Hugh Keevan the last time I played.
Hugh's a bit up and down, so you can never tell whether that's much of an achievement.
My summer form is sensational.
You are 4 wins from 4 in the summer so far, so we'll see if that is going to continue, or is John Spencer going to get off the mark? It'll be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for John Spencer, the red side of the coin for Gordon DL, and it's the red side of the coin for Gordon DL. So John Spencer is safe for this evening, so it's going to be Gordon playing his fifth game of the summer series, looking for 5 wins out of 5. So we'll put something else in the ear of Gordon so he cannot hear us. And for you, Chris, it'll be 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Let's go.
Let's go for it. How many English clubs have signed Andy Robertson?
2.
In what year did South Africa host the World Cup?
2010.
Which Rangers player was sent off twice last season?
Fernandez.
Roy Keane lost to which club on his Celtic debut?
Clyde.
Name the last host nation to win the Men's World Cup.
France.
Which Scotland manager gave Craig Gordon his first senior cap?
Alex McLeish.
Right, we will bring Gordon DL back in. You were singing along there too.
I was good. We both kicked off with shoes.
I was the bomb there, mate.
Rhythm and blues.
Right, that's plenty of that. Right. Let's get on with the 30 seconds on Beat the Pundit for Gordon DL. Let's go. How many English clubs have signed Andy Robertson?
Three.
In what year did South Africa host the World Cup?
2012, no idea.
Which Rangers player was sent off twice last season?
Raskin.
Roy Keane lost to which club on his Celtic debut?
Clyde.
Name the last host nation to win the Men's World Cup.
France.
Which Scotland manager gave Craig Gordon his first senior cap?
McLeish.
Lewis Morgan plays for which MLS club?
I do know this. The White Caps. No idea.
I like how you started that with "I do know this." I'm going to spoil it. You got the wrong answer there. But anyway, okay, let's go through them. How do you think it went, Chris?
I don't know. I think it's quite close.
Right, we'll go through them. How many English clubs have signed Andy Robertson? Chris went for two.
Spurs.
But it is three because it's Hull, Liverpool and Spurs, of course, who he joined in the last week. So it goes 1-0 to Gordon DL. In what year did South Africa host the World Cup? You went for 2012, which wasn't even a World Cup year. Yeah, that was a Euros year. Chris went for 2010, a World Cup year. The correct World Cup year. So it is 1-1. Which Rangers player was sent off twice last season? Chris went for Emmanuel Fernandez. You went for Nico Raskin. Mohamed Diamandé is the answer. So it remains 1-1. Which club did Roy Keane lose to on his Celtic debut? Clyde is the correct answer. Chris got it. Gordon got it 2-2. Name the last host nation to win the Men's World Cup.
Spain. France?
Is it France? It's France. Yeah. You got it right, and Chris got it right. I'm actually weirdly surprised that you got that right for some reason. Just doesn't seem like the type of thing.
I was going through my World Cup notes today. That's how I knew Spenny played against Russia first game.
You've been doing some weird stuff today. What have you been up to? Anyway, we'll leave that. I don't think anyone wants to know the answer to that question. 3-3 going into this question. Which Scotland manager gave Craig Gordon his first senior cap?
Can it be McLeish?
Both went for Alex McLeish. But remember, Craig Gordon is old in terms of footballers. It was in 2004. Any ideas?
Bertie Vogts.
Bertie Vogts is correct. Neither of you got it. So it remains 3-3. Gordon got one more question in. Lewis Morgan plays for which MLS club?
Right, tiebreak.
Yeah, you said, I know it. You said Vancouver Whitecaps, which he doesn't play for. Ryan Gold plays for them.
Who does Lewis Morgan play for?
San Diego. Yeah. He's at now MLS expert. Right, Jones.
Really he's had a good MLS career, actually. Very good MLS career. Good football.
So it's going to go to a tiebreak.
I always go 100, mate. Always.
So, Chris, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the question out. I'll get Gordon to write down his answer first, and then once he's written down his answer, I'll get you to say yours out loud. The question is, how many countries have qualified for the World Cup only once? So in the history of the World Cup, how many countries have qualified for the World Cup on only one occasion? Gordon is going to write down his answer.
I'm too high.
You're writing it down. Chris, what are you going for?
Go
24. You've gone for
24. I was going to go 24.
Gordon DL has gone for, what's that, 48?
Too much.
The answer is 17. So Chris is the winner, and Gordon DL's 100% record is wiped out.
I can honestly tell you, he would absolutely batter me on that. I had no idea, except for the Lewis Morgan question. So thank you.
Do you know something? I was going to go 28, so Chris would have still won. So I'm okay with that.
Congratulations, Chris. Must be pleased with that.
Yeah, thanks very much. Cheers.
So well done, Chris.
On 100% record for Chris on Beat the Pundit. And he's taken yours.
I've lost my record. Yeah. That's you, Spenny.
Yeah, I'm unlucky for you, pal.
Apparently, you fall all the way down to sixth in the Pundits league table, but that's because I think everyone else has won. Is that correct? Oh, no, sorry. That's because Brian, Jim and Killian have all played once and lost once. So you move below everyone that has played once and won once, because it's done on percentage.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? I've played 5 games, won 4, and I'm new bottom. How does that work, mate?
I'm never coming back in this show, mate, if they're going to do that with me. I tell you, beat the ponder.
You've now got the experience of having watched it firsthand, so at
I'm
least
struggling to remember what happened tomorrow, let alone 5 years ago.
Right, thank you to Chris. Let's go to Boston, shall we? Because we spoke to Gabriel Antoniazzi earlier on, who's at the greatest bar in Boston, building up to the World Cup, and I think he's maybe got some Scotland fans that can speak to us on air.
Yes, I do, Andrew. Welcome back to the greatest bar here in Boston. I'm joined by Nick from Western Australia, of course, originally from Scotland. Nick, thanks for joining us. Tell us your story then.
Yeah, Gab. I travelled on Tuesday evening. I travelled 30 hours from WA. I stopped off in Dubai for 3 hours and I've done a 13 hour to Boston. So all up, it was a 30-hour flight, which was tiresome, but you know what? Well worth it.
Well worth it?
Well worth it.
Obviously, you won't be able to see it back at home, but there's plenty of Scotland fans behind us and plenty of them wearing this exact yellow top as well. I'm just going to read it. It's the hot sausage roll scrambled egg. Nick, what's the story there? Because you're all matching down there.
This is the North Lanarkshire Tartan Army's hot sausage roll scrambled egg group. And I'm now an honorary member, being from WA. And the guys produced this to me yesterday. And I was absolutely delighted with it. It's a fabulous achievement, and I love it.
Yeah, brilliant. First of all, he's dressed appropriately, unlike Gabriel in his Mexico top that we're not going to stop
I'm not having more stick about my Mexico top. I also grew a moustache to look a bit more Mexican for the opening game. So
I'll tell you what, it makes you look something, Gabriel, but it's not Mexican.
Tommy Tackle.
How's the atmosphere there? Are there a lot of Scotland fans floating about? Is it starting to really pick up now?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, when we first walked in, it wasn't too busy. We had advertised that we were going to be here. But, of course, everyone's piling in for that Mexico game, the opener against South Africa. And it's only, quarter to three, half past two here. So can you imagine what this place is going to be like at 9 o'clock tonight? We've also got the USA playing tomorrow night at 9 p.m. as well. We're expecting it to be absolutely jumping. But, Nick, what are you looking forward to most about the next few days?
Without question, Saturday night off the Scotland Haiti is for me is the game that I'm looking forward to. Hopefully we get a win that's again hopefully going to qualify us for the next round, because probably our best option, the best choices of winning a game. Again, we can't take Haiti too lightly. I don't think they're that bad, but any win hopefully should do to qualify, because I don't think, honestly, that we'll qualify or we'll beat Morocco or Brazil. But again, you never know. Optimistic at best, and looking forward to it. And if we get through, great. If we don't and we try our hardest, then you know what? That'll do for me.
You said as well that you might have some connection to Gordon DL. Can you tell him? Gordon, you're listening?
Yeah.
I'm like, Gordon, you may know my brother, Paul McDonald.
I know Paul very well, yes.
Yeah.
Is that where the North Lanarkshire thing comes in?
Absolutely, yeah. He knows you very well. And he said to me, if you ever meet Gordon, just tell him I say hello.
Ah, brilliant. Lovely to speak to you. I was wondering about the North Lanarkshire thing there. Enjoy yourself. It'll be worth that 30-hour flight, mate.
Oh, absolutely. Dad, do you know what? And I think one of your daughters lived beside my mother and father as well. And
they
I,
do, I'm yes. Sure. I'm down there all the time,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I seen you one day and I said hello. And
you just
think, that's very good in DL. Very good in DL.
Ah, bro, have a good trip, mate.
I tell you what, Gabriel's going to give him your number and the two of you can continue that conversation.
Probably got my number.
when you look at the fact that he's come all the way from Australia, we talk about Scotland fans going from Scotland, but there are expats all over the world that are making that journey. It just shows how much this World Cup means. First time in 28 years that people are willing to, if they can, travel, you know, ridiculous distances to go and support their team.
I think it's well documented. We've got some of the best fans in the world, and they've waited a long, long time, 28 years to get to a major, this World Cup. I just hope, fingers crossed, that we get every piece of luck going and we get through to the knockout stages so that these guys can extend their trips and have an unbelievable time in the States.
There does seem to be a lot of optimism, certainly with the fans over there. I don't know how much of that is to do with the fact that Scotland have played very well in the last two friendlies. I don't know how much of that is to do with the 32 degree heat mixed with beers, but certainly there seems to be optimism.
Well, and plus the fact we've got probably a better chance of qualifying now with the amount of teams. And is it 8 out of the 11 third places?
Eight out of 12.
12, sorry, teams, sorry, yeah. Sorry, 12. So you would imagine that if we got off to a good start, you know what I mean? We'd probably get there. That's the most important thing. But I love that there, right? He says, I've travelled 30 hours flight. That's flight only, right? And this is what Scotland, you're talking about the greatest fans, turns around and says, as long as we put everything into it, we give our all, I'll take that. It's brilliant. Not in the fact that I've flown 30 hours in a flight, we better qualify for the knockout stages, but I think we've got a magnificent chance. Listen, football's all about taking your chances at the right time, little bit of luck, things can go for you. That's what football's about. But we've got to get out there, best performance. And I think we've got the players, and I think we've learned from the Euros. I really do. I think the Euros were a big learning curve for Steve Clarke, and I think he'll go and be positive here.
30-hour flight, and we heard him in the office earlier on moaning about a 30-minute drive to get through here today. Just different commitment levels from different
that's
people.
That's a lack of professionalism for Daz, isn't it? I mean, we all know that over the years. I mean, to be honest with you, 30 hours for Australia to Boston's an unbelievable effort for the guy. He sounds actually like he'd been drinking the whole time, but at least he's having a great time. Hopefully it's no typical Scotland where it's like we lose to Haiti and then beat Morocco and they're having to beat Brazil to get through the next. It'd be typical us, but listen, we'll take it anyway.
Well, thank you to Gabriel in Boston. We will head back there shortly. We're going to speak to Ian on the line after the break. And before we go to a break, we are looking ahead to a massive weekend for Scotland. And Clyde One Super Scoreboard will be live from Radio on Sucky Hall Street tomorrow. It's a Boston-themed bar, so it is perfect for a pre-tournament party. It's going to be the show sounding like this, but Hugh Keevan, Scott Allen and myself will be there at Radio on Sucky Hall Street doing the show live, building up to that game against Haiti. So why not head along, get involved in the show from 6 till 8 tomorrow. You can sit alongside Hugh Keevan, Scott Allen, put your point to them in person. As well as that, Clyde One Super Scoreboard will be live from the Tap Yard at Merchant City Square from 1 a.m. on Sunday, bringing you all the action from Haiti against Scotland. I know Gordon Dale's already trying to sort out his sleep pattern to get up nice and early for that. Gordon Dale, Tony Watt and myself will be covering that game with Gabriel reporting from Boston. Plus, if you're going over to the US, as you just saw there or heard there, the greatest bar in Boston is the place to be on Sunday morning. If you've not got a ticket for the game, Gabriel is there now. Whatever Scotland's result, we'll be back there 11 a.m. local time to react to all the action. You can speak to Gabriel, you can get on air, get involved. So whatever you're doing for the tournament, Clyde One Super Scoreboard has you covered.
Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Still time to get your calls in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon Dale and John Spencer here with me, Andrew McLean. So 0141 951 1025. Whether it is Scotland and the World Cup that's on your mind, maybe you're thinking about Martin O'Neill being officially announced as the Celtic manager today and the situation with Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham. No mention of them yet. And what about you, Rangers fans? Danny Rule, is he going to stay? Is he going to go to RB Salzburg? You can let us know on the phones. Let's speak to Ian, who is up next on the line. Ian, is it the World Cup that you're thinking of? Are you feeling optimistic going into the game this weekend?
I think so. I think pragmatic as well, but certainly I think we've got a really good chance. And I'm just really looking forward to it. I'm tuning into all the videos that are getting posted and stuff, getting close to the as you get closer to the build up, and I mean the facilities that they're playing in are incredible. And basically what I wanted to talk about was these facilities in Charlotte FC and how much they've personalised the interior, you know, to help them make feel at home and stuff, and there's so many nice touches, and it's really top quality. And I was just thinking, and the question was, you know, you think do you think this is going to sort of help them foster good team bonding, you know, and stronger chemistry?
Yeah, well, I'll put that to John, because there's a lot of money in MLS now. You look at the facilities, as Ian said, Scotland are based at Charlotte FC's training base, and there has been a big sort of personalisation to try and make it home for these Scotland players, and having those facilities that feel like home, and they are, you know, outstanding facilities. How big a part can that play in making the players feel comfortable, feel at home, and give them the best possible chance of playing to the best of their abilities?
Well, I think you've got to remember with the national team players, you know, they're coming for Aston Villa, they're coming for Liverpool, they're coming for Premier League football clubs. I think if you look at a lot of the big MLS clubs, New Charlotte being one of them, Seattle Sounders, Atlanta United, a lot of these facilities that they're building are soccer-specific, football-specific. When I went over there to play, it was, you know, the local, you know, David Lloyd type of club, and you were walking down to the local pitches to train. Now, these teams are spending hundreds of millions of dollars for soccer-specific stadiums, soccer-specific facilities. So I think that it's going to be... I think one of the boys spoke about it the other day there, how much it was like a Premier League, you know, training facility. So I think they've put them in the best possible situation. They've gave them nothing for the players to complain about. And it's now just down to the players when they step on the pitch to produce the goods.
I did enjoy part of Aaron Hickey's press conference yesterday, where he was asked about how the players have been spending time. I think it was a local journalist from North Carolina that had asked him a question about whether he tried any of the local cuisine, and he said, we've not really had much of a chance to get out and about, you know, we've just been playing a lot of golf. To which Scotland's press officer sort of jokingly leaned into the microphone and went, shh, as if don't tell people what we're up to. But it is important that outside of the footballing hours, when you're, you know, spending so long together as a camp, the players need to have downtime. They need to be enjoying themselves, not just sat in their rooms. They need to be out and about spending time together, and it looks as if the squad are doing that too.
Yeah, because they are away. How long have they been away now? A few weeks, and they've still got hopefully another few weeks still to go, and it is a long, long time. And you can only train, you can only go to the gym, you can only prepare so much, team meetings, so you got a lot of downtime on your own. And I remember even when I played, even if you were away for 3 days preparing, it's a long, long 3 days, you know, because you've got a lot of time and you'd end up just sitting in your room. But as Benny said there, the facilities they've now got at their disposal, they've got different things. And the great thing about this team is every one of them seem to go on with each other, you know. So it's not like it'll be wee cliques sitting over there in groups. They'll be all mixing, they'll be all getting, they'll have their downtime, like... They will have a game of golf. There's nothing up with that. I know some people say, oh, what, they're playing golf and it's the heat and it'll tire them out. They'll get buggies and all that. They're fit young men. They've got plenty of recovery time. It's just making sure that they're keeping that self focused on what's the most important. And then what's the most important comes at 2 o'clock, our time Sunday.
Ian, when you look at the Scotland team, a lot of debate about who should start, what the formation should be. Have you got any strong thoughts on what Steve Clarke should be doing against Haiti?
Not really. I think the squad that played the first half against Bolivia, it would surprise me if it was very different to that. I'd expect maybe just a couple of changes. Certainly McGinn coming in and maybe Christie dropping out. I think because we're playing the lowest seed in the group that we should certainly go with two up top and Shankland and Shea Adams up front.
How do you see it playing out, John? Because there is that debate about whether, you know, the 4-4-2 has worked in Scotland's build-up game. Steve Clark has previously played with a three at the back, maybe not in the last few months, but has said it could be possible this tournament. Do you see Scotland going with that 4-4-2 against Haiti? Do you not?
I think Haiti's going to play a big part. I think if you're going to, but I've watched Haiti a couple of times. I think if they're playing three in the middle, the three central guys versus two, if you're outnumbered and they can keep the ball, then in that heat and that humidity in Boston, it's going to be a tough game for the two central guys. So for me personally, I wouldn't lose the midfield battle. I think the game, I know that you look at Haiti and you're thinking, weakest seed in the group, one of the worst teams in the tournament, they're going to be big, powerful, athletic. They're going to lack discipline at times. I think in a couple of the games that I've seen, I think crosses into the box, they don't defend well. But I think if we start well, you'll see them lacking in discipline. There'll be some hairy tackles going in, let me tell you something, two-footers and stuff like that. These guys are very proud to play for their nation and they won't want to let their country down. But I don't see it being an easy game for us. I think we're in a really tough group, as I'm stating fact, but it's going to be a difficult 90 minutes.
Something to watch as well, Scott McTominay didn't train today. So the chat is that he had a stomach bug of some description. We're told that it's not contagious. There's not a worry that, you know, more Scotland players will end up not being available. Remains to be seen whether he's going to be back or not. How big a loss would that be if he's unable to play or not able to start game?
It'd be massive, of course it is. He's a massive player for us. You just go back to Hamden, now overhead kick. And he scores goals. And he's such a big, big player and he's a leader on the park. Look, if it's only a stomach bug, we're sitting here just now, Thursday. It's still what Gabs was talking about, 3 o'clock or something over there. Plenty of recovery time. I think McTominay will start, unless it's a major problem, but he will start. Listen, I think we'll be leading up to this is, what formation is he going to play? Me personally, I honestly can't see him changing from a back four. I really do. I know what John's saying about the three in the middle of the park. I think McGinn will come in there, and I think Gannon Doak will play that sort of a, like the right wing, and McGinn will play in and out like a left midfield player.
So play like a lopsided four.
Yeah.
You're three narrow and the one hanging out wide.
And the two guys up front. He's got to go
It becomes between Ferguson and Christie then, who drops out of that midfield, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm going to think that I'll probably be Christie. I like Christie. I think it's a great headache to have. The other one for me, I'd love to hear what people think about this, is I look at the goalkeeping situation and I know there's a big question mark. Well, Craig Gordon's not been fit a lot. He's hardly played. But we had that debate the last time. Craig Gordon come in, was absolutely brilliant for us. Gunn hasn't played a lot of football as a goalkeeper. I know he played against Bolivia. You know, Liam Kelly, I don't think he will be in the equation. I just wonder if that's a big decision to make. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think it'll be too far away from that team that played against Bolivia, to be honest with you.
Who starts in goal for you, Ian?
Oh, probably Angus Gunn, but I mean, I still think that Gordon's probably the best goalkeeper we have. But I've actually got another question. I wanted to ask what you guys think about when we're playing maybe Brazil or Morocco to an extent, when we're going to have less of the ball. Moving probably to one up top. Do you think that we could might even see what's his name, the Australian?
Lyndon Dykes,
We could maybe see him coming in maybe as an out ball if we're playing someone like Brazil, when we'll see, like I said, a lot less of the ball, someone that can be kind of give him a bit of physicality. You know, what do you think? Does that seem a bit of a stretch?
What I like about this squad is quite simple. For me, it's adaptable. He can go with a four and he can be nice and comfortable. He can go with a back three. He can go with two strikers. He can go with one and one off. He can go with wingers. He brought young Finlay Curtis in as well. Ross Stewart, Southampton, they can play off the flanks. They've got good pace, everything good about them. Gannon Doak's brilliant to go down the right. So this squad is adaptable to go and play. Yeah, he could. He'll look at each team individually and say, right, this is the best starting 11, this is the best shape to go and try and win this game or even get a point. And if we got off to a great start on Sunday, another point's a gimme. It's a certainty we're through. So it'll be interesting to see how he lines up. But he's John touches on humanity and the heat. He's got to use the full squad. Well, not the full squad, but he's got to use a major part of the squad because it is going to take its toll over the week or so.
Thank you to Ian. Let's cross back to Boston. Let's speak to Gabriel Antoniazzi. He's got more Scotland fans to fill us in on what's happening over there.
Yes, I do. Andrew, welcome back to The Greatest Bar. I'm joined by Ronnie from Glasgow. Ronnie, thank you very much for joining us. You've come all the way over here with your son, Ryan. Tell us why you had to be here at the World Cup.
Well, back in 1998, last time Scotland were here, me and all my pals said, well, let's go to the World Cup. At that time, we had young kids, etc., and money was tight. We said, well, why don't we go to the next one? Well, this is the next one. So, hey-ho, we're here. So we've got to be here. So that's it. So it's great to be here. Fantastic atmosphere, and the fans are amazing. So there you go.
We're hearing all the boys in the studio and the callers discussing what they would do in terms of a 4-4-2. Do you change it later into the tournament? What would you do, Ronnie? What do you want to see?
To be honest with you, I mean, I'll leave it up to the manager for that. Whatever happens to do, I have no idea. But whatever he goes with, I'll support. So, I think he's got a lot of choice there. 4-4-2 seems to work. But who knows? I think we need goals. So hopefully, two up top, get the goals in, get the first game won, then go from there.
You see all the smiles on the faces down there, Ronnie. Do you feel that there's a belief and optimism that we've not had at the previous two Euros?
I think we're in a really good position now. Yeah, I think it's a really strong team. But famous last words, isn't it? We've all been there before, where hope takes over, etc. But fingers crossed, I think it's a really strong team. Everyone feels confident. I say Saturday is massive for us. Just get that game won, hopefully, and take it from there.
When it comes to tickets, Ronnie, have you got tickets for the games? What does that look like?
Yeah, we've got tickets for the game, thanks. Yeah, so we've got a couple through the ballot. We've got one elsewhere, but yeah, so we're all managed to go to the game, so that's good.
What's that going to feel like 28 years on from France 98, being over there, being in amongst it, creating those memories that I'm sure you'll be talking about for a long time to come?
Oh, it's massive, absolutely massive. And I think the atmosphere here is it's electric. Having all the Scottish fans, we flew in last night, the 5-hour delay in our flight. We got here eventually. I think today we're seeing more and more fans coming in, and the atmosphere is just absolutely fantastic.
Well, thank you to Gabriel and Ronnie in the Greatest Bar in Boston. We'll be checking in with them across the full World Cup. We'll be hearing what Gabriel has to say. He'll be telling us all about the action in Boston. He is our man on the ground over there. And remember, we've got lots to come over the next few weeks when it comes to live coverage of the World Cup. And in case you missed this earlier on, you could take part in our free football predictor for the chance to win £1,000 in Amazon vouchers. All you have to do is put every group in order, predict who'll make it through to the knockout stages, and see how you compare with fellow Scotland fans on our leaderboard. We'll be looking for Super Scoreboard's smartest armchair pundits to predict how the summer is going to unfold. Enter now for your chance to win £1,000 in Amazon vouchers plus bonus prizes for the runners-up as well. Entries close a week tomorrow, so that's Friday the 18th of June at 5 o'clock. You can enter now at Clyde1.com, and you'll also find it via the Clyde One Super Scoreboard social channels.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and John Spencer here with me, Andrew McLean. 0141 951 1025. If you've got any final thoughts, whether it is on Scotland and the World Cup or domestic matters, and don't worry, we are not going anywhere. We are back tomorrow between 6 and 8. Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen will be with me at Radio in Sucky Hall Street to do the show live from there. So maybe you want to come on air and actually sit next to the guys and put your point to them. You can join them from 6 until 8 tomorrow night. And of course, plenty of coverage across Scotland's matches as well. Let's go back to the phones. Billy is a Rangers fan in Milton. Billy, how are you?
Good, lads. No, I mean, good evening, Spenny. Good evening, Gordon.
Hi, Billy.
Good evening.
Basically, it's in regards to our manager. I mean, if he chooses to go, he goes. Personally, I was looking forward to him building a team, but the way he treated, you know what I mean, Tav, just at the end of the season, there was absolutely no call for it. That guy, you know what I mean, whether he, you know what I mean, you could like him or loathe him, he gave his all, you know what I mean, for 10, 11 years, and the amount of goals he scored, you know what I mean, you can't expect somebody to be in defensive positions and also score their goals. So just in the way the manager treated him to death, that's not on, man. That's not the Rangers' way. I mean, should never have handled that. I mean, he should have went on the park with his kids, even if he played a minute, irrespective of whether he had a broken leg or not. I mean, he could have taken him after a minute. That way he got what he was due.
It is the type of thing that did leave a bit of a sour taste in the mouths of some Rangers supporters. Other people will tell you that, you know, there's no sentimentality in football. Danny Rule felt it was a game that Rangers had to win. He felt that, you know, Rangers winning the game would have the best chance of doing so without James Tavernier, which didn't turn out to be the case. But, you know, Billy's saying it would maybe question his man management and what happens going forward.
I wouldn't care if Rangers had they gone and won the league. I'd have still disagreed with the Rangers manager. I think what Tavernier achieved and he put into the club, he was a captain for all those years. His assists, his goals. Yes, he had some doubters. He's in the Hall of Fame at Rangers. He was a brilliant servant for Rangers. Absolutely brilliant servant from Rangers. And it wasn't like the fact that Tavernier hadn't been playing. You know, it wasn't a case of, listen, this guy's not played for 3-4 months or he's been right out of the picture. Tavernier played against Celtic and all that and the split and whatever. So, and plus the fact, he was taking an injection to play. So, I'm sorry, the Rangers manager, and he can come out and try and defend that as much as he wants to defend that. He handled that. He was an inexperienced manager handling that. I'll tell you something now, and I hate saying that because you're comparing and Rangers and Celtic fans don't like comparing. But if Martin O'Neill, it was one of Martin O'Neill's players, let me tell you, he would have got his moment. There's no doubt about that.
I always think when it comes to management, a lot of decisions and a lot of things that managers say are perceived just based on how supporters, how much they like the manager or not. Because I think in that scenario, Rangers had lost the last three games. They looked to be out of the title race. A lot of Rangers fans weren't happy with Danny Rule. So used that to say, you know, they don't like that management. But I wonder if Danny Rule had won the three games prior to that and he made that decision and they were on course to win a title, that if people go, oh, I like that, that's firm management. It's a manager that, you know...
James Tavernier wasn't the reason they lost the last three games. Let's be clear on that. Wonderful, wonderful servant to the club. Wonderful footballer, as Gordon says. His goal-scoring record for a fullback would go down in history at that club. I think if everybody that was involved in the situation could rewind the clock, I believe that every single one of them would handle the situation differently. I think it's one thing to look and go, you know what, the manager's at fault. I'm always a big believer of you never know what's going on behind the scenes. Was there something that happened on the training ground that maybe Tav, you know, wasn't he happy when he said something to the manager, you know, called him out in front of the players, and then the manager's got to now make a decision. Whatever way, whatever, you know, there's always three sides to the story, your side, my side, you know, and the truth. I believe Danny Rowe would love to take that
situation
back.
Do you know what made
back.
It worse for him, John, was the fact that he lost the game. It wasn't like he made that decision. He won the game and everybody sat back and thought, yeah, strong management, we won the game. Who cares about Tavernier? They lost the game. I thought he handled it abysmal. I've got to be honest with you. I thought it was poor.
So, Billy, what is the ideal scenario for you here? Do you think it is a sort of good time to part ways if that deal is on the table at RB Salzburg and Rangers go for someone else?
If he goes, he goes. No, I mean, as I said, I would have been more than happy, you know what I mean, for everything to carry on as normal up until he'd done what he'd done. You know what I mean, his man management, it calls every other player in that club into question. You think, wait a minute, if I stay here for 10, 11 years, is that the kind of send-off I'm going to get? Is that what I deserve? That's not what Tav deserved. It's really not. And as I said, he was treated, as Gordon said, abysmally. And they're just absolutely, you can't defend the indefensible, plain and simple.
I suppose Rangers, sorry Billy, yeah. I was going to say, I suppose Rangers do hold the cards here because, you know, you would imagine that any football club has a list of potential managers, because anything can happen at any time. You've surely got some sort of contingency plan, a list of managers somewhere, a succession plan. Is it then a case of Rangers, if they are willing to let Danny Rule go or open to the possibility of it, they then sort of look to that list, see who's available, sound out candidates, and whether the right person is available for the job could be the deciding factor on whether they allow a deal to happen?
Yeah, and plus the fact he could cash in on some compensation. Obviously, he's under contract. And I think it saves face if you wanted him to leave. Yes, they did come out and back him, but I thought they were put in a corner, because I think it would have been a bad look on the Rangers board sacking two managers after taking over in one season. He's got off to a great start, because I think he's got the best centre forward in Scotland, best goal scorer. I think Shanklin will be brilliant for him, absolutely brilliant. I don't think he'd be a big loss for a lot of Rangers supporters. It'll be interesting to see what happens, but if they're now sitting back just now thinking there's an opportunity, we may lose this manager, they have got to be doing work behind the scenes. Of course they have.
Well, who'd you go for?
Well, I think the Rangers fans will favour someone like a Derek McInnes, because of the season he had, manager of the year last year, went so close with Hearts to win the league. I think a lot of Rangers fans will like the idea of him coming in.
Listen, I imagine they'd have to spend big money to get, yeah, get money for Rowe, but I'd imagine they're going to have to get Derek out of there, they're going to have to prize him away from Tony Bloom and his...
Could they pluck someone like what Motherwell went out and achieved? We don't know. We don't know what's in their database. We don't know what the board think. Don't know what style of football or who they want. But as we speak just now, Danny Rowe's still the Rangers manager. So
you just said earlier that Celtic went with safe hands. So rather than bringing a untried, untested manager that Motherwell did, and it worked out great for them, he's fantastic.
If you can't get the safe hands on Derek, then it's like Celtic, they would have had to go...
Do you go for Steven Gerrard again?
Me personally, I probably wouldn't.
Well, thank you to Billy. We'll leave that there, because let's cross to Gabriel in Boston for a final time before we go off air. I do have one question, Gabriel, before you start. Question I really should have asked at the start that everyone is dying to know. What's the price of a pint over there? What are we looking at?
In the greatest bar here, we're looking at about $8. But what I can confirm is they do have tenants. And all the boys downstairs are drinking tenants. It's not in tenants glasses. It's in American or Canadian beer glasses. But there's tenants here. $9 for a tenants, $8 for a local beer.
I like that's peak opportunism, isn't it? Get the tenants in. Get the Scotland fans feeling like it's home. That's the way to do it. Other beers are available, I should say.
I'd be local beer.
Yeah.
$8.
Maybe the cheapest.
After four, you're not really caring.
Final thoughts, Gabriel, before we finish up tonight.
Yeah, Andrew, obviously this is the first of our big World Cup shows, and the World Cup really feels like it's here now. We're obviously moments away from the big kickoff at the Azteca between Mexico and South Africa. I can't believe that we are still 2.5 days away from playing, and the atmosphere in Boston is unbelievable. Here at the Greatest Bar, it's really kicking off. There's hardly a spare seat in the house. We just saw the opening ceremony on the big screens behind us. You should have heard the cheer when the Scotland flag was brought out. It was only eclipsed by the boos when the England flag was brought out a few moments later. But listen, this place is going to be electric over the weekend. And over the next 10 days, it's a tartan takeover here in New England. The World Cup is finally here as well. And for once, we are going to be a part of it.
Thank you to Gabriel. As I said, we will be checking in with him throughout the World Cup. He'll be giving us the latest from Boston, and he will, I'm sure of it, next time we speak to him, Gordon DL, he'll be wearing a Scotland top, surely.
Tomorrow night, he'll have his Norway one on. He'll keep his Scotland one for Sunday morning. 1 o'clock we're on.
We are on from 1 until 5.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Night shift. I've never done a night shift in my life, Benny. This is the first one.
You've done a few nights, 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock in Glasgow City Centre, let me tell you.
But not working.
No, none of them would make it onto national radio. Not a single
exactly,
one of
those.
Exactly,
but we're all looking forward to it. World Cup starts in, what, a few minutes? I just hope it's a brilliant, brilliant event, and I hope that Scotland do us proud.
We've seen a bit of the opening ceremony on the television so far. It's very... It's in Mexico, but it's a very sort of Americanization of the World Cup, isn't it? But we suppose saw that in 94. It's just the way the Americans do it.
That's American sporting industry. You know, big events, big sporting events, big spectacles, and they don't come any bigger than the World Cup.
Well, thank you to Gabriel over in Boston. Thank you to you at home for phoning in, getting involved on the phones, the live stream. Thank you to Gordon DL, and thank you to John Spencer. Remember, tomorrow, Hugh Keevans, Scott Allen and myself will be at Radio on Sucky Hall Street between 6 and 8. We are doing the show live from there, so get yourself along there. You can put your point to the guys in person. You can get on air. You can maybe even play Beat the Pundit in person. Then, of course, we will be at the Tap Yard at Merchant City Square from 1 a.m. on Sunday, giving you all the build-up, all the action and all the reaction from Scotland's World Cup opener against Haiti. I can't wait. I'm sure you are exactly the same. And stick around, because it is Callum Gallagher that's up next.